Welcome to Chaotic Harmony. My name is John.
This is Crystal. We talk about the joys and the challenges of teaching music in the elementary school classroom.
We share struggles, we brainstorm solutions.
And we would love to have you join us.
Welcome to episode 102. Triple digits. Third time. Welcome to 102, where we are going to be recapping our time at AOSA. But first off, I'm one of your co-hosts, Jonathan Seligman. We also have
Crystal.
But also we have a different person also on deck. Who are you?
I'm Rodnolin. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Rodnolin.
Hello, everyone.
We'll do a one-on-one with you later on, but just so people can know, like, where do you teach?
I teach with San Diego Unified at 8 different schools in the South Bay area.
Eight different
Ocho.
Schools.
That's more than one hand.
Yeah.
That's a lot of schools. We'll delve
and
more.
We'll talk about her life a little later, but mm-hmm. Rodnolin is one of our fabulous San Diego AOSA mm-hmm. members and
our
Vice President. Madam Vice President,
hello,
thank you for
hello.
Joining
we
us
salute
today.
You. Thank
yes.
you.
Hello.
But we're not here to delve into Rodnolin.
Oh my gosh, we've got past president, president, and vice president.
Oh, what?
How do you like that?
The squad.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
But
we need a handshake.
We need a handshake?
We'll work on it later.
But how do you like AOSA
2020? Why am I conducting?
See, why are you conducting?
You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
2024 AOSA. Mm-hmm. So, first off, how was that for y'all?
It was,
in short.
It was amazing.
Give me a sentence.
Amazing. It was amazing.
I enjoyed, period.
Enjoyed, yes. period. And I thought it was, yeah, phenomenal, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was my, let's see, I started in Salt Lake 2019. I didn't do the mm-hmm. online one, but I did everyone after that. So what's that? Math people, 2024 minus 19. I don't know. Let's make a fifth one. Let's just say
yeah,
fifth one.
Fifth one.
And how many have you been
oh,
to,
this
Crystal?
Is my sixth.
Sixth?
Yeah. Counting 2020.
Oh, okay, so
yeah,
you're
I count 2020.
And Rodnolin, this
and
is
I am a newbie, so this is my second year mm-hmm. actually.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is my second year.
What was that like for you then? Like this being your second, your first time is like all this energy, but this time mm-hmm. now that you've been here, did the whole rigmarole once. What was it like?
I think okay. So compared to the first time was very like, oh my gosh, so many resources, uh-huh. And then like we get to my second year, and this is my third year teaching actually. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm a little bit more focused, and I have a lot more things to look at. So. Mm-hmm. Basically, this year I'm focusing more on like how do I get my students to engage more or get that intrinsic motivation to learn by themselves. So mm-hmm. I got a lot of that, and I think that was my focus in this conference was to go to sessions that focus on that and social emotional learning. Mm. So mm-hmm.
there was a lot of focus on SEL this year. Yes. I feel like every year you notice certain trends that mm-hmm. are like. Not trendy per se, but that people are often presenting on. SEL was definitely a big focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So yours, sorry.
Yeah, I did see a lot of sessions that were social emotional learning. And I think most of the ones that I picked were mostly getting students to analyze like what they're actually learning instead mm-hmm. of just like, oh, here are some activities. Again, third year teacher. I need to have more purpose in my teaching. So uh-huh. it's nice being able to see that in action with or how people are actually putting that in their classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I went into it with more of a lens of how the presenters, many of whom are my friends, I'm happy to say now, which is really fun,
yeah.
How they engage the room, how they engage other teachers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm primarily looking at now. Like, how do you make this meaningful? This is from your own experience with your students, but how do you make this meaningful for other adults mm-hmm. so that they can then take it and turn it into something useful for themselves? And I really got that this year. It was beautiful. And I'm just so proud to know these people because they're exceptional humans.
Amazing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similarly for me also, like the first couple of years was very much content focused mm-hmm. and I still was focused on content, but it was much more of like peeking through like how is the sausage made and like looking mm-hmm. at like people's approaches for teaching adults but also teaching students as well, how they mm-hmm. broke down their lesson specifically, and also comparing things that I liked and mm-hmm. things that I might want to adapt or tweak on that fits my persona. But like, yeah, similarly, like, how is the teaching method, not the content per se, mm-hmm. the content support, like the method was my focus. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that translates to how, like, I guess we go about like life and how music is effective in your life outside of the classroom is like the way that they were, I guess, scaffolding it. mm-hmm. Words are new to me. like just the way that it's thought from like, this is your foundational thing and how do you build onto this in order for you to acknowledge or have more appreciation for what you're actually learning. So the whole connection thing with your students, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of that. How do you connect to your students? Well, get to know them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to like see if we can go around robin, share sure. like let's just do two because I okay. could be here for a long time. We've done that before.
And we
had to cut a little bit of it, but yeah. like thinking about what was two sessions, we'll do one by one, go around mm-hmm. and just share what you liked and who was presenting and what was it on. Mm-hmm. So I could start off.
Go for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
The very first session was phenomenal. Had it with Sarah Posey. I had never met Sarah before, but hers was on SEL, mm-hmm. but it was the first session. Her session was on like a lot of this. It was funny because the way she approached it was she talked a lot about SEL, but for a quick moment, not a quick moment, but for like a small portion, because we really wanted the activities. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice because I see a lot of people when they present, a lot of times they get so much stuck in the weeds of talking about important stuff. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Some people have seen it before. Some people haven't, so seeing how Sarah did it in a way that was very digestible to new folks, but also a quick glance for those who've done it before, and then getting to the meat of it, the activities, mm-hmm. was she did it in a really well-done job, well-done way. And also, not just focusing on content, but also focusing on, like, she shared a bit about herself. I feel like presenters don't always do that. I mm-hmm. feel like there's like only, what, 90 minutes, right, of presenting?
75.
75, yeah. Yes.
It's fast.
So it's fast. And yeah. so I was like, oh, what do I prioritize? But if you're going to focus on SEL, mm-hmm. you got to sharing about a bit about yourself does not hurt. It helps you be relatable, and then you can kind of connect your personality. It's, mm-hmm. it's perfect. The second activity that she did was really cool that I really, like, that stuck with me. She placed on the screen four emotions, mm-hmm. Anger, fear, sadness, and happiness. Mm-hmm. And there was something that she pulled from online that was an image that was like represents each of them. And then we were supposed, she gave us, a phrase from each of those emotions, and we're supposed to create a piece of music and movement that helps correlate with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but with things that are happening around, happening, I resonated with anger. So I went into the anger stage, and it was great. There's it being the first ORF session, it was great to just have everyone come together and just like, hey, we're hitting the ground running. Let's make something together. Mm-hmm. And our anger session was amazing to the point where like everyone else gave us a round of applause.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the way she did it was like, it was in rondo form. So she had a little song. And then we did this chant, it was about anger, and we were all shouting at the end. Mm-hmm. But the A section that repeated each time was so happy. So the juxtaposition was a little bit wild. But that was, anyways, like Donald said, Sarah's session was really great and mm-hmm. a great opening to the whole.
You know, I think that's conference. One of the most joyful things, though, about conference is that so much humor sneaks into the creation, you know?
Yes.
We're playing together. It's like we turn into kids again. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. sometimes we're you know, for catharsis, I think, like pretending to be the bad kids in our class, you know, like being the knuckleheads, like thwarting.
No, I have no problem with that. That's always been me. So.
Right. But just like, you know, to lean into when you have something like that going on, and, you know, it's great.
And it also allows me as the teacher to think back on the times this is a busy time for us. It's in November. It's a hard time.
We need to laugh.
And we need, mm-hmm. we need to laugh. And also we need to give our students leniency to do things that are humorous, even if the activity itself is not necessarily for them. Like allow the students to take over. Sometimes
Let them play.
As we get into concert season, it's easy to forget that.
Yes.
Oh, so, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's definitely where I am right now. So,
So
pressure's on, right?
What spoke to you then, Madeline? What was the session that got you?
For me, like, my focus has, again, like, been, like, critical thinking and, like, how do I engage my students to think through, like, what we're learning in a way that it's more connected to them. So David Rao's, like, critical thinking one really spoke to me. It's just the way that he layered it. And he pointed out Bloom's taxonomy. And I saw that, like, instead of just, like, taking, like, oh, you can use this question from Bloom's taxonomy and this question. But, like, the way that that pyramid is actually is that it's foundational, so like understanding it first and then like using your understanding to do something else, ending up with create at the top, which is what what ORF is, right?
Yeah.
So that, and another one was
we'll go back to you. So that was perfect, awesome, cool. And also it reminded me, because I need to poke David Rao on Facebook. We're gonna poke more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This has been ongoing made aware for years.
I reminded him to do that during conversation. Oh, yeah, good. So it continues.
Yes.
Poke. If you're watching, poke. Cool.
Well, I have to give a shout out to my fellow Studio 49 booth babes, Katie Brown and Jen Bouchan, who did the most lovely session called All Kinds of Kids, All Kinds of Awesome. And they did three lessons. They used three separate books. Two of them were based on volume pieces. And there was just, they just led us through how they use these lessons and their songs in their classroom for every single child in the school. And they have, you know, situations at their schools that I can relate to. Mm. They teach all the grade levels. They teach all the ability levels. And I just think Jen Bouchan is one of the funniest people I know in my life, and she makes me laugh, and I freaking love you, Jen. And she was just so honest about her students and leaning into their creativity. Like, she talked about her her severe autism class and how she said, you know, they are the most creative kids that I teach. And she's like, you know, I might put a xylophone in front of you guys right now, or my kids, and say, how many different ways can you play this instrument? And they'll be like, I don't know, you just hit it like that. She's like, my autistic kids will pick it up and be like, I can smell the bar, I can lick the bar, I can hit the bar on the ground, I can hit the bar on my shoulder. And I was like, yes, yes, this is what goes on in my classroom. Mm-hmm. But then she talks about honoring that as creativity.
Yeah.
That because is, yeah. It is creativity. It is. Mm-hmm. And they deserve the chance to play instruments. And when she said that, I was just like, amen, sister. I felt that.
I love that.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. They deserve the chance to play instruments. And they'll probably disassemble it. And pieces will probably end up in
But that's how it other is parts meaningful of the room. To them, though. Is
right.
That,
that's how they explore it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a beautiful session.
That's great.
I laughed. That. We all were opening up to each other. And then their song for the book, All Kinds of Awesome, was so great. It was, all kinds of awesome, be yourself and let us see. All kinds of awesome, what kind will you be? And then we're all sitting in a circle and everybody had to say three things. I am, I want to, and I will. And then we finished those and we went around the room and then shared why we were awesome. And it was, I was getting emotional. And so was Jacob Wolf, who joined us from Munich. He is the president and owner of Studio 49. And he had never seen ORF in the US before. And so this conference was his first time meeting all of us here on the US side of things. And he thought it was beautiful.
That's lovely.
Oh, cool.
Why are you awesome? What did you list?
I am kind. I like to sing. I think I talked about taking pictures or painting. It was one of those, like, we were sharing our different abilities. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was awesome. It's a great book. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Second one, I have to choose between. I need the parameters, but
I know. How do you narrow it down? There were so many.
Shall I do, like the whole Oscar? I want to give thanks to the whole list, everyone. I really did. I loved. Ooh, Ooh, I'm looking through my schedule right now. I should look at it.
Uh-huh.
There's some good stuff.
I
went to my first. I went to my first Judy Thompson Bartwell session, which was with you, and uh-huh. we posted it on Instagram.
We had so much fun.
That was my first session ever.
We ended up sitting next to each other. It was like, you're at this thing too,
and that was amazing.
It was fun.
You wouldn't talk about like how teachers process things properly. Like that was phenomenal. You take one small seedling and it grows into this beautiful thing, and then you have these people sneezing with tissue, you know.
Oh my gosh. Well, so Judy was one of the headliners.
Yes.
And she is absolutely a master of show cager. Like, she is everything that I've ever learned with her. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she makes it about you, like you were saying, Ronalyn. Mm-hmm. Like, she makes it about the learner. There's some sort of input at every single step of the way. Mm-hmm. And I, from the moment she began with her little open and shut them chant with the hands, I felt like I was four. And I'm like, I want you to be my music teacher. It was lovely.
It was just natural.
Yes.
Like, it was, again,
she made it look so easy. Simple
concept.
Yes.
And then you have people just do simple things. And then it grows into something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And I've heard some of those things before. But she did it in her own way. Mm-hmm. And seeing her model how she has used it for years opened up this new facet to teaching for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I brought that back into my classroom with my four-year-olds with so much joy. I did the, it's open, shut them, give a little clap. Open, shut them, lay them in your lap. Creep them right up to your chin. Open up your little mouth, but do not let them in. And you put them behind your back. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I was laughing so hard. Anyway.
And then.
But we were laughing with her.
Yes.
In the session.
Because also, it wasn't just the chant. Then how do we explore it?
We said it low. Fast. We said it in fast and slow. Yeah.
And then it sounded like zombies. Some people took their slow time.
They did. It was amazing.
Oh, man. I said two, but there's a lot more.
That was a lovely extension to my TK lesson on Friday when I was out of spoons. I'm like, oh man, I got 10 more minutes. Well, guess what we're going to do?
There you go.
How fast can you say it? How slow can you say it? How high can you say it? Yep. They loved it. They could have done it all day.
Maybe we'll do three.
You have so many, right? I know. I'm glad that you brought that one up because I was like, I have to talk about Judy's session. Yeah. And she is a fellow ASM board member. I'm proud to say. Mm. Okay.
Back to you, Rodlin.
I'm literally still trying to process all of that.
Sure.
It was just
It's a lot.
There's just like a lot to take. And like, I could look at my notes right now, but I'd be like, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, that looks mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. And I also found myself like being in these sessions and like, yes, like I'm like watching them do it, but I'm a very like, I have to do it my way kind of still. Mm-hmm. Is that stubborn of me? But like, is it?
No.
But like, I'm just like, I write it down and I'm like, ooh, like how can I make this more? Because I feel like it needs to come naturally from me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to like, I would like change it. And how do I make it? Since I also have, again, like a different situation with my students where they don't know what beat and rhythm is at that grade.
Right.
Because usually it's fourth and fifth.
Yes, fourth and fifth. Yeah, so
for eight different schools.
Yes, for eight different schools. For
that's 5 plus 3.
Uh-huh. 5 plus 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like finding ways to like, how do I make this fun even when it's just it's the foundational part still.
Right.
So yeah, it's a lot of that. I mean, like I can talk about all of the sessions, but I think the other thing was the I don't remember it, but John, you were with me on this one. Is it it's the one where they talk about the onlooker and
we're gonna put a pin in it.
It was the S of SEL. It was Jess Dunnick.
Also enjoyed that. As you can see hear that I like pyramids.
pyramids.
And I like the fact that like there's acknowledgement of students who have different ways of learning, but sometimes they just need to be outside of the learning space. Mm-hmm. So like we could have them like in the carpet and like one kid probably just wants to be outside looking in mm-hmm. because they don't want to be part of the community yet until like they know what that community is. So they need to find that safe space. So I like that whole idea of being the onlooker and also that being a privilege and just give them a task in order for them to like explore it themselves first within themselves inside, because I focus a lot on wanting individuality with my kids. That that's important for you to like learn how to even take this in by yourself and then like being ready to be in the community after that. So I really enjoyed that concept.
By the way, if you listeners, if you're hearing anything, that's it's on our end. It sounds on our end.
Okay, so we're having our backyard redone, and San Diego, our dirt is made out of mud and rocks, and so they were trying to put down a drainage pipe this morning, and they ran into a boulder. It's giant. So there's a jackhammer happening in the background. Sorry about that.
It's not your speaker. It's not your Bluetooth connection.
It's not you. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Yes.
But so I just want to give acknowledge to that in case they're concerned. But back to you, Robin. Like, first off, I feel like oftentimes whenever like we talk about exploration and the ORF process, it can often become, at least from an outside perspective, that like everything's ethereal and goes in all directions. But I think there is something to be said about we want the floor to be wide, but the direction to be not linear, but to have a point. And it's like, so you're talking about triangles, like, you know, things building up to a point.
Pyramids. Get it right.
Four-sided triangle, bro.
We have to work that into our handshake.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Pyramids. Pyramids.
I
this reminds
and then
me.
Downbeat.
Brian, help me.
Downbeat. Oh, there you go.
Downbeat. There we go.
Oh. Wait, prep. You gotta have the prep.
Yeah. Boom. Okay.
And the ictus.
The ictus.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. So. I like that point at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, I agree the notion that not everyone has to jump in at the same time. That you can give people space, but give them jobs as well, so that they can help process what's going on their own time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my second session that I have to talk about is my buddy Drew Bullington session.
Drew.
He did an update to the Simple Simon piece in the volumes. And
we were there together.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, everything he does is
beautiful. I think Simon
beautiful.
Is wrong.
Well, so we learned Simon it in our do. Level two. We learned it in our level two. And there's two problems with Simple Simon.
Canceled.
Simple Simon went up Pyman going through, met a Pyman going to the fair, said Simple Simon to the Pyman, let me taste your... Guess what my kids always say?
Underwear.
Every time.
Hey.
Can't teach that song. Because nobody tastes your wares. And I mean, anyway.
Your fair,
so,
your lair.
Yeah.
Your mare.
That piece, mare. When mare? I tried
like
to teach
horse.
It. Oh. Fair. Ew. When I tried to teach it 8 years ago, it didn't go so hot.
Sure.
Like Drew pointed out in his session, it's about calling somebody simple. And suggesting that they are of a lower quality than you and making fun of somebody who doesn't process as quickly. And that doesn't feel right to teach kids that we're trying to teach how to be good humans. And
so when you know it better, you do better.
That's right. So he came across a book called Senorita Mariposa.
Mariposa.
And so he updated the words to be about Senorita Mariposa.
Cool.
It was beautiful. Senorita Mariposa, you have caught my eye. It's really lovely. And what I appreciated about it was it was all tied in to the life cycle of the butterfly. So there was a science connection. We learned specifically about monarchs. We went through the entire ORF process because, of course, we did.
Of course.
But every step gave room for student input. He started out by showing us little models of the different phases of the life cycle of the butterfly, but every group got a different phase. And then we had to describe what we saw with movement. And we discussed with each other. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, every single phase of this lesson had room for you to give your ideas. Mm-hmm. And even down to when he was teaching the accompaniment for the xylophones, and he showed us, because the hands move together and then they move back apart, and there's two parts, and he showed it on the screen. He said, look, they make the shape of butterfly wings. And I was like, are you kidding me?
I remember him doing that last time with on the bridge to Avignon. Remember that?
Yes.
It's like, oh, like the whole, yeah. Drew does a good job. Like, he's yeah. just like that, and then he flips it. It's like, oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it connects it. So then you have all these different ways to remember what you're supposed to play. Mm-hmm. So it teaches you very quickly. And it's all, it's just lovely.
You know cool. what's cool about it, too? Cycle pyramids.
Wait, I don't know. What?
Together. Cycles are circles. Like rounds.
Round is a circle. Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. No, don't unsubscribe. Don't do that. Don't
please
do that.
Don't.
What are you talking about?
No.
It's just my favorite earworm for John Dunn.
Speaking of pyramids.
It's concert.
Speaking of pyramids, I don't want to spend, we could spend a bunch of time, but just mm-hmm. honorable mentions. I would like to just give a quick honorable mention to. I really loved the Karl Orr friends and colleagues in Nazi Germany.
Mm.
That was definitely a sit down with your laptop and type notes, but it was a great recontextualization of we recognize people are complex and it's easy for us to throw people into a bin, mm-hmm. but to note where Karl Orr stood with Nazism is complex. And
it
it's
is.
Not a black and white situation. Mm-hmm. Another one I want to give a shout out to is also Orphan Modern Band. You were in on that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
With David Dawkins. Lovely stuff. But the last one was animation with Ashley Bowden Woodside. I had never met
I
Ashley in person.
That
mm-hmm.
And that was like, I'm glad I met her. She's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. honorable mentions. Do you have any honorable mentions you want to give out?
Rock band for sure.
That was
fun. That's also because like I'm starting a rock band.
Hey, you are.
Not really a rock band thing.
Well,
it's a modern band.
Modern
band. Different.
Yeah.
I'm so used to calling it rock band because uh-huh. it's always been the modern band. Uh-huh. Every time I joined something that's not classical. So
yeah, jazz band or whatever.
Jazz band,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah,
so dance band. Whatever it was called.
Huh?
What? Yeah, whatever. Mm. Like, we called it dance band or something.
Dance band.
I know.
What state was you? Were you living in the time?
I think that they called it that in Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
dance band.
Interesting. Dance band.
I don't know.
That's actually a cool band name. Dance band.
I wish I played with my plastic guitar dance band, you know?
I got to give a shout out to Ani Silva Berrios. Her session, Viva la Musica, was amazing. Mm. It was all bilingual. It tied into different parts of Mexico, South America. She gave so many ideas for different books and dances that we could do. And it was excellent. Just beautiful. We got to bring her into San Diego.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
She was awesome.
I think I went to that session, but I was already like so, like a lot of ideas.
Having trouble absorbing.
I had to sit down and just like type a few notes, but like
yes.
not engage too much. But that was a really good session. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
I started with the one with tubes.
Yes.
Yes. Loved
yes.
it. Loved
that
it.
Was fun.
That was great.
Also, Ukulele Beyond the Strum with Sandy Lance and Gretchen Wahlberg.
Okay.
Cool. That was an early morning session. Mm. But they did such a great job. And they showed different ways that you can teach ukulele with finger picking patterns. So you can still teach the same chords, but just give the kids another challenge.
Yeah.
And we worked on reading not only... we worked on reading different kinds of charts. So like chord charts or versus tab. And they talked about how their different learners sometimes had an easier time. Like kids who really struggled with like color-coded chord charts could tabs just made sense to them.
Something mm-hmm. I like about ORF, if you view it from like the science community, it's a way of showcasing your data of how you taught, so, you know, how this has worked in your setting and bring it to your own setting.
So, yeah. Yeah. When I was talking with the guy that came down from Sacramento and visited us in 2019 when we were up for that school award, the Distinguished Arts School or something mm-hmm. like that, he was asking me about if the creating strand of the standards was hard for me to meet. And I said, absolutely not. I'm an ORF teacher.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is that the children are going Pretty to much. Create. And he said, yeah, that seems to be the only camp of music teachers that are 100% comfortable with
That's too bad.
I know. So. I know. I just think that, because I think that all of the approaches have room for creation
definitely.
Active music making. You've got to, you just have to be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. But it's not really laid out that way currently in our textbooks. But you come into these sessions, you go to your ORF levels, you show up at AOSA workshops, and yes, it's all, now what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's different than band.
Mm-hmm.
Dance band.
dance band.
Different than dance band too. Although, I mean, you can make an argument with jazz band and
You know, and really,
like, you're improvising.
You could also make an argument for orchestra, for choir, for band, but it's just been structured in a way that it is very teacher centric. And
yeah, it's true.
So we, I know, I was having an online conversation with, I forget his name. It's like, what was it? Tobias Ed. I forget his name, actual name, but he's on the Instas. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, like, the perception of concert band is oftentimes teacher centric. And tell me if I'm wrong. And so I guess, no, it's not. Like, a lot of times. So. Anyways, that could be a conversation for another time.
Another time for sure.
That, and we could also, speaking of conversations, we could have long conversations here, or we could have some conversations with our guests. We have some online guests that we ask some questions to, some lovely people. So we're going to jump right there.
Hi, guys.
Hey, awesome. Christina is a longtime listener, I found out. But, But
from the beginning.
First time showcase. And so I hope we can have a one-on-one with you later on. But thank you for being part of this. First off, first question is, was this your first time at conference?
It was not. I have been at most of them for the last decade. My first conference was 2014. So
seasoned pro. Which was
Nashville. Yes. So yes, I feel like I've been around for quite a few, and it's been really fun. So
also, Christina, where do you teach?
I teach in Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's right.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yep.
Oh, so we then you saw her, maybe, I don't know. Well, you went to her home stage.
When she was busy hostessing.
Okay.
Like, host chapter, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
And did you present this year?
I did.
Was it your first time?
I did. I got to do a double session. It was not my first time, but it was definitely my favorite so far. It felt really smooth and fun. Had a session on Thursday morning, so we had a really good time.
Very cool. Awesome. And, well, actually, you did a double session. What were your two topics, if I may ask?
Well, it was the same thing. So, like a lot of the other sessions, it goes back to back so that if there's two things you want to see at once, you can go see one block and then the other block. But it was called Shifting Shapes Through the Schulwerk. So it was all about how we combined geometry and poetry and children's literature and music with a program we did with fifth grade.
And it was fantastic. I have to say, we had so much fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. I missed it. I'm sorry to hear that. But I'm guessing the alliterative element of your title was intentional. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. 100%.
So another question for you is, like, why do you take time out of this exceptionally busy time of the year to go to AOSA conference? Why is that for you?
I need it. Yeah. Like you guys, I'm an island and I'm by myself, and I'm lucky to have a very strong chapter, and we have our four workshops and we have some get togethers, but I crave conference by this point. Just the rejuvenation of being with everybody and making music together and seeing incredible teachers do their thing. Like, it's what keeps me going through the craziness of November and December for sure.
I feel you there.
Yeah,
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, it would be very nice to have like two so we can have like a little bit of a boost come March. But yeah, no, I agree with you full heartedly. And lastly, what do you bring home with you after coming to this year's 2024 AOSA? What did you bring home?
Gosh, I brought home just a sense of peace. I had been struggling. The 2 weeks leading up to conference were really rough at school, and just realizing that I'm not alone and that we're all in this situation and that we can do beautiful things with children in the classroom, even if it doesn't always feel like it. So I think that was the biggest thing for me.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for popping in, Christina.
And of course.
We will definitely have to arrange a longer conversation.
Yes.
Real Sounds soon. Great. All right.
And thank you for being one of our longtime listeners. We love you deeply.
Of course.
Yes. For reasons
other than that. But also. Thank you
but
so
also,
much.
You know, I listen.
Bye.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Awesome. Okay. We also got with us Olivia Ramirez. Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
Hello.
And in case you missed out on her amazing episode, I say amazing a lot. She was on episode 90. Do you remember? 98, 7, somewhere like that.
It was
it
recent.
It has my name in the title.
It has my name, so go check that out. But in case they have not, Olivia, where do you teach?
I teach in Aledo, Texas, which is a suburb of Fort Worth, Texas.
Awesome.
In DFW.
So it's like
perfect.
Northern, yes.
You would think. Texas is odd. It's North Texas, but not the northest Texas.
Okay. There are categories that I don't... Yeah,
it's like calling San Francisco Northern California when there's like 3 hours of California after San Francisco. So it's like that.
True North. Yeah. So, Olivia, we got a few questions for you. First time, did you present this year?
I did not, but I have applied to present for the first time. I have applied to present for next year, so...
Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Oh, looking for that.
Peeling my eye. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't understand why we still have that idiom, but alas, I still use it. So I look forward to seeing that next year, and I'll make sure to check that out. But also, so Olivia, we're asking all our guests, why do you take time out of this exceptionally busy time of the year, like pre-concert season for a lot of people, to go to AOSA conference? Why do you do this?
It is the most soul-filling experience that I have discovered in my whole life. There's lots to learn professionally, and initially I started coming to this conference to grow professionally, but, you know, from professional skills to networking connections, and now just deep friendships and reuniting with people, it fills my soul, and I find a way to get there.
Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I fully hear you there. As you reflect on your time at AOSA Des Moines.
That's how I've been saying it.
Yes, Des Moines. Way to go.
Des Moines.
Whether it is personal or whether it is something you got like from a workshop itself, what did you bring home with you? What's something you brought home?
I was trying to think of things that you might ask. And so I was honestly going through my AOSA app thinking, like, what were some sessions that were like really impactful? Because I've had some in my history of attending the conference. And there were some good ones that I went to. It's really fun to watch master teachers always and just kind of learn the art of like how they weave it all together and how they drop just the right information at just the right time. But I think the big takeaway was all of the conversations that I had throughout the conference with so many different people. I was joking with probably you guys, I don't know, because I would just hop from group to group to group to group, just, you know, with whatever interesting conversation. I would follow this conversation. I would, like, somebody said, karaoke bar. And I was like, sweet, I'm getting in your Uber. Like,
so yeah.
I would like retell the same story as probably to people who were there, but like I was just uniting and connecting with so many different people. And like I said, like when I first started coming to this conference, it was the professional growth that I was really looking for. And I still get that. But it was those personal connections. It was being with people, making deep friendships, people that I had just met that morning and then like almost died with. That's a thing.
Beware of hot dogs. That's another podcast.
I did not die, clearly.
We're very glad.
But like, that can only happen at an ORF conference.
Uh-huh. Facts.
It's true.
Very cool. Yeah. Olivia, thank you so much for spending time to just recap and chat with us. Sure. Hopefully you don't get, you know, taken away with hot dogs later on. So
we're going to have to explain that later.
Or you can follow, I mean, you posted on your Instagram. Where can people follow you?
My Instagram is at @ohheyolivia, but it's OHHEYYY.
Oh, hey. Uh-huh.
Go find her if you want to hear about how she almost died from hot dogs.
Exactly.
And became trauma bonded with other ORF teachers that she just met that morning.
Thanks so much, Olivia. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Hi.
In case you missed out, Jamie was on our last episode with the EOSA crew on episode 101, and also she on the next one as well for part two. Mm-hmm. But in case they didn't see this, Jamie, where do you teach?
I teach in Sacramento, California, and specifically in San Juan Unified School District. I've been teaching there for 5 years now.
Nice. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So question for you. Did you present this year at AOSA 2024 Des Moines?
I did not.
Did not. Do you intend to in the future, though?
That's in the plan.
In the plans. Okay, cool. So keep your eyes
peeled
for that. That should be a shirt for us. So next off, why do you take time out of this very busy time of year to go to the foreign country of Des Moines and go to AOSA conference?
I go for multiple reasons. Well, of course, there's a professional reason because I always want to, like, I'm always interested in seeing what other teachers are doing and seeing, like, what ideas they have and how it can inspire me. Or, like, oh, I didn't know I could do it that way. Or, oh, I forgot I could do it this way. So it's more like a reminder in a lot of ways of, like, different teaching styles and different approaches to doing things. But also the big reason that's closer to my heart is to see all my friends who are there. And to make new friends, like the two of you, when I met you in person. Yeah, from my levels courses, there are some people I hardly ever get to see. And so I say, hey, it's our annual meeting at the conference.
Yes.
I get you there. And also, that's why I met you. Like, a lot of these people that we have on the screen, we like, that's where we met. So I get you there. I feel you. I feel you. And lastly, what did you bring home with you? Whether it's physically, whether you bought an ukulele, baritone ukulele, like one of these foods.
Hello. Hi, that's
or
me.
Maybe it's an idea from a workshop or just a conversation you had with a friend. What's something you brought home with you?
You mean this time or just every time?
This time. This time.
This time. It was, I guess what I brought with me was, I guess it's kind of hard to narrow it down to one thing. I guess a couple of things was like just a good reminder of seeing good friends and how everybody's doing and just relating on similar things that we're going through, like in education, whether we're in a private school or public school, whether we're in Maryland or in California or wherever we are, we're all there to like be together and have our own affinity group. Yes. And the other thing is to, professionally speaking, I took away a lot of different teaching styles. Like there are some that I really appreciated, some where it was like very practical, very organized, very structured, and I was like, oh, I could probably do it this way a little more. And then there are a couple where I was like, I wonder if I'm doing it this way where I'm talking a lot, or am I doing more doing? How am I engaging my students? Am I doing it this way or am I doing it that way? It's helping me reflect more on my teaching practices.
I got you there. Yeah. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for being a part of this, for jumping on last minute, but still showing your face. And we got to do a one-on-one session with you. So hopefully in the future, we'll do that.
And can't wait for part two of our Laban movement.
Get ready for Tetris. So
yeah. Intent.
Bye. Take care, Jamie.
Good seeing all of you. Bye. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Yay, we made it work, everybody.
Woohoo!
An audio and visual. So let's do a little round robin. I've got four friends joining today. So I've got Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa, where are you from?
South Central Pennsylvania. So technically I live in Lititz, I guess.
Yes.
Technically.
Okay, so Mrs. Semsey. And then Mr. Boga, Manny Boga. Where are you joining from?
Hi, joining from Reno, Nevada.
Nevada. Don't say Nevada. Just for all of our listeners. Yeah, right. And then Drew Bowling.
Hello. I'm also from Pennsylvania and also from the thriving metropolis of Lititz in Lancaster County here among the Amish. And I get to be neighbors and good friends with Lisa just down the road from me. So.
Yeah. And you teach at her former school.
I teach at the school that was her school, but I was there before she was, and then she left before I left. So I'm teaching. Yeah. So I don't know if you touched a nerve or not, but she used to teach here, right next door, right over there. That was her room right back there.
Through that wall, through the ukulele wall.
Right. Oh, did you guys have a code where you could just knock on the wall and send
it? No, concrete. It was just out, back, get back out.
Okay, got it. And then we also have Dave Thaxton. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I'm from Reno, Nevada, where Manny is also from. We're also neighbors.
Yes.
Actually in Sparks.
Actually, yeah, I was going to say.
We live in Sparks and we teach in Sparks, but nobody knows exactly where that is unless you're from Nevada, which is the correct way to say it. And
yeah, I know where Sparks is.
But everybody else knows where Reno is, right by Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Which it is not by Las Vegas.
Not at all. It's a long drive.
In fact, right now, outside my window, it is beginning to snow.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait. Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Outside my window, it is 75 degrees and sunny here in
the not the snow.
Thanks for joining. It was so good to see all of you guys in person.
Yes.
It was so good to be together. So I just have a couple of quick questions. Dave, did you present this year or was it?
I did not present this year. Okay. I was off the hook.
You were. You just got to play. He was facilitating AOSA bingo. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Those shenanigans.
I think we should talk about that for a second. What is AOSA bingo and why do people need to be friends with Dave Thaxton in order to get in on it?
You don't have to be friends with me.
No, you do.
You just have to bump into me. Actually, I have it right here.
Yeah. He was carrying around a little.
I have the avocado of bingo.
It's a little handbag.
It's an easy peel avocado.
And shockingly realistic.
Oh, there are little bingo cards with all sorts of things that happen quite frequently at conference. This year, I made the bingo cards really, really small, mostly so they would fit in this here avocado and also to save paper. But, you know, we have all sorts of things like eating a meal during a session, a music sweater, a football jersey. I didn't even see any of those.
You know what? I got that in my hotel lobby.
Oh, that okay. That kind of counted it. Josh Souther, the AOSA president, eating a non-potato vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
People claimed he accidentally ate a green bean at the banquet and it almost ended his evening. He just about couldn't recover. A crumb horn and a banjo in a session. So
I also couldn't find that one.
I had a crumb horn in a session.
Yes, if you were in a session with Rob Anderson, you had a crumb horn.
I was disappointed. I didn't get any crumb horn this year. I don't know how that happened.
I can't tell you how many times in the group I was in, they were like, I've never seen that instrument. I was like, crumb horn.
I was hunky straight guy away from bingo for most of the conference. So
I'm not here. You're all right here. Look at this.
As far as I know, there wasn't a rubric that had to be consulted. It was
personal interpretation.
Fair. That's fair. Okay. But Drew and Lisa, you guys did present. Yeah. So there's so many different ways to go to conference. I feel like I've been 4 times now. And my first year, I just attended sessions and hung out with people. And that was amazing. And I feel like it's just changed over the years now that I'm more involved with teaching with Orv, Studio 49, ASIM. Now it's more about making connections with other teachers from across the country through all those various avenues. What is life like on the presenter side, Lisa?
Well, it all depends on how prepared you were prior to conference.
Well, so, knowing you, you were...
Listen, knowing me,
I feel like that was just not across the bow, Lisa.
I know, right? The stacks of book next to me made me a little less prepared prior to than I like to be. But no, you know, like it's just prepare for your session, have all the materials. And then for me, it's like be super flexible in the sessions. But I get anxious ahead of time. Like, I always want to do well for my peers. I so respect all the sessions that our colleagues present, and I'm always in awe of what they're able to do. I just kind of want to live up to that, right? Like you kind of hype yourself up for like, can we do this? And then you do, and it's amazing, and the energy in the room's fabulous, and then I crash and burn. So I was the afternoon of Thursday, which was right up against Drew's sessions. Our sessions were happening across the hall from each other at the same time. And the next day I was toast. Like I wandered the vendor floor and played with puppets. I brought a puppet home, a little monster this year. That's what I found on Friday. And then I finally went back to sessions in the afternoon. I was kind of toast, you know, after being so in the moment. like making sure I'm trying to meet the needs of the people in the room the best I can. That just, that takes a lot of energy, I think. And you get all amped up for it. Like I do, at least. Drew, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, there
you are... start with well. We're in for something every time.
The opportunity to follow your, what you had to say is super, super like true. The intention is where we start with wanting to do a really great job for our family and for our friends. You know, AOSA is a chosen family. And I actually wrote an email to Brian Burnett today because I have a drum that looks just like this that I left in the session room. Actually, I think someone helped me by cleaning up and put my drum away, and I didn't notice when I packed and I was unpacking and I found everything except for that drum. I'm like, oh no. So I emailed Brian and I'm like, I think someone helped and put this drum away. But meanwhile, before that in the email, I thanked him profusely for all of his work to make the conference, you know, go so swimmingly and so smoothly. And he's brilliant at it. And actually he's a master. And I commended him, and he said, his line was, I love helping my friends. Let me actually, it's worthy of being looked up there. It says, I love serving my friends. That's what he said to me. And I thought, now that is an encapsulation of why we do this work and why we get so bending over backwards to do it really well. And when you said you were toast, Lisa, I'm like, part of me was like, there's a little bit of a Giving Tree story and all of that. Like, it shouldn't take that much from you to give, right? But also, and this is not me shaming. This is saying,
oh, no, I know.
It comes from the intention of us feeling such an honor to be put in that position of being at a place that we know that we're going to connect with people who don't get a lot of affirmation, who don't get a lot of connection, who don't see other people working for them the way that they work for other people. And so when you ask me, how does this work for you when you go and present, Drew, it's like, that's what I'm thinking is, gosh, these people have spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and an enormous amount of effort to get here, to be in this room. And I'm going to make these, you know, 75 minutes count for as much as I can possibly make them count. And also be really intentional about authentically honoring the ideals of our organization and the founders and all of the people that have come before us. And there was a lot of conversation at this conference about standing on the shoulders of giants. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel responsibility to that too. You know, like if my teachers were in the room, I want them to be proud, and I want them to see their teaching coming through as well. And you know, not just my offshore work teachers and mentors, but all of my teachers. I want any of them, if they were in the room, to feel like they've made an investment in me that's paying forward. So those are some of the things I want to talk about.
I will say too, the flights from the East Coast in were really rough. So the turbulence coming from Chicago into Iowa, like I wasn't feeling great on Thursday anyway. Like I had like the turbulence hangover. So then you go and then you do two sessions back to back and you're just like, I need food and sleep, you know. Like, and Friday was dedicated to food, sleep, and puppets. It was great.
Well, that kind of brings me to my next question. You know, this is such a crazy time of year for all of us. We're all gearing up for holiday concerts. This is a musician's go time until Christmas morning. But conference has become this non-negotiable thing for me in my life. I need it in order to see my people and get through the year. Manny, why do you think it's important to set aside this time in November in this crazy season to get on a plane and travel and take some time off work and go to conference?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So going to conference is just so immensely valuable. And like, just from looking at the professional development that we get just in general, like if you were to look at it just on an hour's base, that's crazy. When I tell people when I'm advocating at my school, you know, when I'm telling people about what we're doing there, they're like, you do all of that? And I'm like, yeah. And we meet after also. And we continue that for X amount of hours infinitely, because the night just becomes this door of time. And and we just continue to think and learn and interact and play and create all the time throughout the conference. And it's not just in the session. I learned so much outside of session, talking to people and making new friends. This conference for me was all about meeting people in person that I've had lots of interactions, like Lisa, that I've had lots of interactions with online and talked about with and to other people. And just finally making that personal, like in-person connection, which is really valuable to me. And having that personal connection to what I bring back to my classroom is so important. And so like conference is a non-negotiable for me. We're in that time of life right now, babies and stuff. And so like every other year is kind of our rollout right now. But you know, like it's still a non-negotiable and we work it in because it fills my heart and I got to see my people. And just like Drew was saying, it's family, it's friends. So, yeah.
And what other conference is like this? I'll give you an example because everybody says, well, I'm going to this conference, and everybody has this picture in mind of days of PowerPoint lectures in a big hall with, you know, just endless sessions. And maybe if you're lucky, you get a piece of rubber chicken to eat at the end of some of this. And it's my computer teacher at my school, you know, she knew I was going. It's like, oh, conference. And like, yeah. And she had gone through Iowa and she was super excited about this cave that she and her family had visited on a road trip, like a couple summers ago. She said, you have to ditch that boring old conference. You have to go see this cave. And I'm like, no, it's 200 miles away. It's just, I know, but it's totally worth it. Rent a car. Just don't go, you know, get a hotel there for a couple of days and just skip out on the conference. Like, no, I couldn't convince her that this was something I'm not going to do. By the way, the cave ended up being closed for winter, but I am not going to skip out on these sessions to go look at a big hole in the ground that's closed 200 miles away. It's nearly in Illinois. So it's, you know, it's hard to describe. It's like, this is an active thing. You're always moving and you're dancing and singing and making music with friends inside of a session, outside of a session, talking and thinking and connecting with your dear friends that feel more like family in so many cases than your friends. So no, I'm not going to go skip out and look at a big hole in the ground in the middle of a cornfield. I'm going to do this. This is nothing else like it anywhere.
I agree. It is the chosen family, like what Drew was saying. I can't think of any other place where from the minute I touch down in the airport and I get off the plane, I see other people with ukuleles on their backs. And it's just a giant bear hug for 4 days after that. You're just going from bear hug to bear hug. Every time you turn a corner, I haven't seen you, you know, and it's so special.
You can't walk in a straight line.
You can't.
I'm going to the session. Oh, hi. Uh-huh. And okay, I got to go. Whoop, oh, hello. Here's a hug here. I couldn't even get through DIA, busy DIA. And I'm carrying my ukulele. And Mika, anyway, comes up and taps me and says, hey, Dave Thaxton, where are you going? Like, well, it's the best place you are.
These people are the people that know how to connect really human to human. Mm-hmm. And that's not the interaction, unfortunately, with everybody in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like the people attracted to this approach who make it their life's work really are in it for deep human connection for their students, for themselves. And so when we go to conference, it's emotionally exhausting in the best way.
Yeah.
Right? Emotionally exhausting in the best way. I've never experienced anything like it until my first conference in Atlantic City. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that
apparently they had a conference
because I like the instruments, like, right? Just kidding. What, Drew?
I was saying, apparently there was a conference in Atlantic City and I helped to run it.
You were in disguise.
I felt so. Here's a true story about a connection to conference. Like, the Philadelphia chapter was the host for the Atlantic City conference in 2016, and we all had been really in love with conference for, you know, going and being connected and all of that. And out of the conference experience that we came away from at the end, working so hard to make the conference, you know, so successful, and we're really proud of that conference and the way that it came together. It was a really good conference, but there was a limited team of maybe 8 of us that worked really hard to plan it and make the wheels turn, right? And then we had people that helped a little bit, but there was a core of like 10 or so, 8 or 10 of us that were like a little bit intensely involved, right? So conference came and went. And at the end of conference, we all were feeling real some type of way about it because we didn't have all of the things that we're talking about here. We didn't get to go to sessions and enjoy them. We didn't get to experience the feeling of like, I wonder what's going to happen next, because every minute was scheduled out. And we had this at the end of the conference ride, we were like, wait, everyone's going home and we didn't get what we needed, which was the connection to the field. So at Christmas break that year, we scheduled what we unofficially call Orfnanigans, which was, hey, I'm going to open up my classroom for the day over Christmas break. And anyone that wants to come can bring a piece, a volumes piece or whatever they want to do. And you can come and we'll just jam and play and explore. And we're just going to hang out and then we're going to go out to dinner. We're going to have some drinks and relax. And then you can all stay at my house or go home or whatever. And we had a really great time that year. That felt
super fun.
Yeah. And Lisa was there. And I know Manny has to go. So Manny, what are your parting words that you want to say before you jump out of here?
I'm not ready for this 5th grade class that's knocking at the door. So
that's real, brother.
Yeah, you got it. You got this.
Digesting conference is so much on the brain. And so teaching these 2 days before Thanksgiving is something else.
May the force
see you all later.
Yes. See Manny.
I like the idea of Orfnanigans. I might be co-opting that.
I can. Lisa and I can help you put it together. And I think I remember even in the first official Orfnanigans, I'm pretty sure we had David call either Skype, either back when we were using Skype or something. I remember you were there. You came and we did one of your 10-8 pieces.
Yeah, there were different people that came in on the screen. Different years.
Yeah, there was something that happened. It might have been in 10-8. It might have been that piece that I wrote for the fiftieth
anniversary. Yeah, yeah, I think it was. You were noodling. Yeah.
Yeah, I was noodling on that. It's so fun. And we do a similar thing. Our Orf chapter does, but we do it more on a regular basis. And it's kind of, I don't know. Maybe if we did it less, maybe if we just did it one big time at Christmas, we get more people in. But we usually have 4 or 5 people that join. We call it Orf Laboratory.
Ah, yes.
And we come in. And bring a, like Drew said, you bring a volumes piece, you bring something that maybe you're working on, something that's not quite, you know, maybe it's kind of half baked, but you want to try it out on humans before you get into a bigger or more real situation in your classroom or presenting it for like a workshop or something. And you just noodle with stuff and it's really relaxed. And then afterwards you go out for dinner and it's a nice time. It's something that we need is mm-hmm. that that creative part and also the social aspect of it. It's a great balance.
Yeah. Yeah. We need each other. We need to remember that we're not the only marshmallow of a human that feels all the feels and has all of this, intention bottled up, and we give. And we need to know that we're not the only ones. I've told my student teachers several times now, this is the meaning of the unicorns. You know, there's only enough like room for one per school. So that's why there's only one per school. But you put us all into the same place for 4 days and it's an explosion of joy.
And then the universe has to spread us all out again.
Yes.
So that nothing burns down.
yeah, right.
And Cindy Giebler calls it Brigadoon.
Yes.
It's like the music, it's our Brigadoon. You know, it emerges from the mist and this, and then it goes back into the mist. And it does very much feel like that.
So. Yes. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Before we go, what is one thing that you're carrying with you from this conference that maybe you've already brought into your classroom or that you've just been chewing on intellectually while you chew? I already told Judy this at our ASIM meeting last night. I really took a lot from her session, her open closed session, and just seeing her teach these silly, simple little songs, especially at the beginning of her session, reminded me how much I love to play with my students. And I just felt like I was that much more able to model that for my student teacher right now, that yes, this is deep work. Yes, this is important. Yes, we need to be able to answer all of these big questions for the government so she can go get her credential or whatever. But also, it's about just playing with the kids, and it's a joyful way to spend your days.
Yeah.
I think something that I took, which we all know, is that at least everybody on this screen knows, is that the ORF approach is multifaceted, right? So I went to a lot of sessions that I've met these people, I don't know them personally, and it manifests itself in so many ways, and they're valid because it's process teaching and you can see the process, right? You know, the imitate, you know, the explore, you can see the create within it, but it's not one thing. And I think it's super validating for not just us on the screen, but the people who listen to this podcast to know that it's not prescriptive. You really bring yourself into the mix, and who you are is perfect when you get here. And what we're trying to do is add to your praxis, right? And how do we help your kids evolve and you? Like, I'm a different person at the end of each course I take and each conference I go to. And like, it's just this gradual evolution all the time. And to see that it happens differently and through different lenses is super validating. And knowing that there's a place for you in the elemental world, I think walking away from this conference, it was really evident because people came at it from so many different viewpoints and with so many different kinds of materials, whether they were volume centric and that was your springboard, or it was a folk song and that was the springboard, or something that was composed by the presenter or someone else. That process teaching is just a way, it's a vehicle, and that we all bring ourselves into that process. And I think going home, knowing that it gives me personally some peace because I'm just me, right? And my way is also valid, but so is everybody on this screen and everybody who's listening. If you're using process teaching, it opens a world for your students, but there's so many ways to do it. And that's what I walked home with after all the tears of all the things, you know, and good, joyful tears, and cracks open your heart when you're at conference. But knowing that the approach is an approach, not a methodology, you know, is really big and evident.
Yeah. Well, I'll jump in next because I realized this is my, depending on how you count 2020, which was all online and digital and different, but I'll count it. This is my 24th conference I've been to. So just kind of noticing how I have experienced the conferences throughout, you know, from 24 years ago till now, it's such an evolution. Like before, I was immersed in this creative process and like, oh wow, I am on this train that's going to, where's it going? Somewhere exciting. Wow, this is amazing. And we got to this end result that was so satisfying and so fulfilling, but not really yet. I was just experiencing it. And that was so wonderful. I kind of wish I could take all the things that are in my brain and set them aside and then go back to that, you know, that first, second, third, you know, just one of those early conferences where I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but it's crazy and wonderful and I love it. And then it was like, I, you know, started becoming enamored with the people that were teaching. It's like, oh my gosh, these are the Orf gods and I'm going to go see a session. And oh my gosh, guess who I got to sing with and guess who I got to dance with and all of these things. And then it became, okay, these people are doing nothing more than any of us could do every single day. They're just really, really smooth about it. And so what is it that they're doing? And so it became watching your processes and going, aha, I see what you're doing. Oh, this is brilliant. That's great. I'm going to incorporate some of these processes that are, again, not a methodology, not a curriculum, but these are the processes. And now I experience it because I see the processes. I'm so familiar with them and I adore them. I am focused now on the other people that are in the course and how they are reacting and creating, because we have some of the people that this is their first conference. They're like, I don't know what this train is that I got on, but it's going to an amazing place and I am here for it. And my head is blown and I love watching that. I love how they start working together. These are people from around the country, around the world with different approaches and different backgrounds. And yet here they are making something that is beautiful or collectively silly or just so artistically fantastic together that it's bringing them joy and that's bringing me joy. It brought me so much joy. And then I would say the highlight of the conference then was seeing that end result happen with children in the St. Paul School's performance, which was absolutely knock your shoes off, not a dry eye in the house. We saw these creative processes, the end result. This is what happens when you do this with children and where it comes through. And then the last song by Elizabeth Camozzi was just, I knew I needed something from this conference and I didn't know what that was, but it turns out that was it. It was that piece as a culmination of all of that program. So it, boy, that left me feeling so good in such a good way.
David, you took my answer.
Sorry, Drew. Talk more about that, Drew.
Well, here, say more. Okay. Well, I wanted to say, exactly what David was saying is what was shaping up in my mind. So the fact that sometimes David Thaxton and I share a brain must terrify a lot of people. And for me, it gives me great comfort because I know that there's someone out there who also understands what it's like to be rolling around up here in this old noodle. But your perceptive recap of that experience was spot on. And to have the opportunity to see master teacher Meg Teets and her colleague, also masterful Elizabeth Camozzi, work with those children in real time, still shaping a performance while building a plane while they're flying it in so many ways, because to do this work, it has to be loose for kids to be free. And when kids are free, anything can happen. And if you don't let them have that, it doesn't feel good for the kids. And it's just an anxiety ride for you. And I really honor the way that they the way that they chose to bring those kids from months and months ago forward and put them on that platform in front of us. And I hesitate to say a stage because the stage has so many implications of perfection and rehearsals and specifics. And there was a lot of really beautiful possibility there, even on the stage. So, but I was going to say in very short words, the song, you know, I choose to dance. I choose to sing. I choose to live life in the fullest. Give me wings. I'm holding that and it is just swirling in my heart over, you know, a week later. And, the idea of that whole song coming from Elizabeth and to those children in a matter of the last few months through the poetry of the poet, you know, the national, our treasure, Amanda Gorman,
yeah.
You know, that all of that being connected to so many, so much depth. And, I actually shared the video that I made with my students of that. And I said, hey, I just want to share this. This is one of my favorite things from conference. And every class clapped at the end. You know, not like that cheer, but just this like, you know, and I was like, those are kids just like you. You know, they have people who aren't nice to them. They have people that struggle. They have people that some of them aren't as, you know, maybe they don't do great in school with reading or math or whatever, but they are doing this. They're still showing up for this and they're singing, you know, they're saying, I choose to sing. I choose to dance. I choose to live in a way that makes me proud. And even when, and I'm like, whew, even now I'm getting a little teary because I'm like, gosh, do I do that? Do I always choose to live in a way that makes me proud, or do I choose to live in a reactive state of being, allowing my emotions that are not my best emotions to be in charge? And it just was a real reality check for me. And I pride myself on my integrity, in my integrity. And it just was like, hey, are you really in full integrity with who you want to be? Are you, and you know, that question, like, do I choose to live in a way that makes me proud? And to have that, all those words in one sentence was really powerful for me, just because you can choose it and you can choose not to, and that you can, your choices are the part of the things that you do in your life that are who you, make you who you are. And then the reflective piece is, does it make me proud? So, and then of course there's your own individual experience with that, and then our community experience with that, and then our national existence with all of that, and all of, you know, regardless of your politics and how you feel, there's a lot of people who are feeling big feelings about the way things are going in our world. And not just in the United States, but all over. And so I just thought, gosh, if a bunch of kids who are in fourth and fifth grade can remind me that I need to remember to live in a way that makes me proud, and they can do that in song, then, and that's, you know, that's what I brought home with me, is there's a real, the power of simple elegance. And that's what that piece of music was simple. Elegant simplicity and brilliantly delivered. So that was my takeaway. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't build on that. So, Lisa leaned over halfway through that song and he's in this teary voice said, this is why we do what we do. And after that, we were just spooning and sobbing for the rest of the song. It was a full body hug.
I was holding her hand on my shoulder, pouring out of us.
There was snot. It wasn't even cute.
I went online and I bought that song, and I even I'm looking at that. I really, really, really want to teach this to the children, but I don't think I can make it through it.
No. You know, it's such a beautiful example of teach your children words that are worth getting stuck in their heads.
Gosh. Isabel McNeil Carley, worthy of remembering for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Isabel McNeil Carley says, make anything you teach your children should be worthy of them remembering for their entire life.
Yeah.
And I really, there's been a lot of things I put back on the shelf because I'm like, nope.
Because of that. I mean, I'm still going to teach alligator pie.
I think alligator pie is very well
not worth remembering. Okay, good.
Absolutely. I mean, I taught you alligator pie in level 2, so okay. I can't buy that.
All right, good. I mean, how else are you going to teach 16th notes? But yeah, I loved that part too. And what I loved was it wasn't a special group. It was the fourth and fifth graders who went to that school, all of them. And it looked like all of them, you know, it didn't look like a special auditioned group that got together for a couple of months after school. This was put together during music class by all the kids in the school. And it was perfect and beautiful in its messiness. And it was amazing. I felt like I was watching the very best possible version of something that could actually happen in my classroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I loved it.
It's like the ORF Grammy Awards a little bit.
Yeah. It really is. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. It was beautiful.
We haven't had children's performances since COVID too.
Yeah.
So
we have, but they've been like virtual groups.
Right.
We've had the audition groups, you know, we've had the kids that make music class their whole personality. And we love those kids. We live for those kids. But that's not the majority of the kids that we're processing through the music room.
But this whole school, big thing, big stage.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I thought something that was super powerful about that performance, because I nearly said that and I was like, all right, just step that back, because it was like a moment, right? But I think something that was super powerful about that is that every child was moving. Every child was playing. Mm-hmm. Every child was singing as well. It wasn't just, okay, we have the group that's playing for this one, and then there's a small group moving and everybody else is doing something. Like, the children were down the aisles doing movement, flanking the raised platform. You know, yes, there were kids playing instruments and that rotated in and out, but they were swaths of children. You know, it was just lots and lots of kids. And it makes you feel so good that, so what if they sang a wrong note or a kid's voice cracked or the blend wasn't quite perfect. And, you know, it was,
or my personal favorite, watching that little girl shimmy up to the mic.
The shimmying was amazing.
Hello. I know. Yes. This is my personal solo.
I want to walk it back. There have been great children's performances. The last year's at Albuquerque was absolutely stunning. And Kansas City. I just realized
how much has
been lacking. I'm even still recovering from COVID and not having that, and how much that feeds me, these with real actual kids. And every time I see it, it's like seeing it for the first time. It takes me back to 24 years ago, Dave, watching a performance going, what am I seeing? How did they do this? This must have taken 10 years to put together, but these children are all 10 years old or younger. What is going on? How does magic happen? And seeing that, like, oh, it's these processes that you can use with your actual kids who are weird and come in crying because somebody stuck their tongue out at them at recess. And you can take this and make such a beautiful experience out of it. So yes, I am so glad to see all of the children's performances return, and it feeds me.
Good stuff. Well, thanks so much for setting aside the time to come pop in and talk about conference. I feel like we need a debrief, right? You go and have this mountaintop experience, then it's like, all right, back to work. Monday and go.
All I have is this lousy bingo card somebody gave me from inside of an avocado. And I didn't even win anything when I won bingo.
Well, I did, but it was ding ding dong as loud as I could on the airplane on the way home. That's not a good prize, Dave.
I don't think anybody claimed their winning prize of
screaming. Yeah, I definitely didn't.
Ding dong, diggy diggy dong on the
wanted to arrive in one piece back home.
Well, next year there should be a QR code for when you win, and you take it'll take you to a wheel of useless prizes. Tune in next time when we talk about ridiculous incentives for your students.
The wheel of useless prizes that includes 4 dust particles and 9 feet of invisible rope.
Oh, I had a kid win 9 feet of invisible string today.
Oh, wonderful.
He was so pleased. I pulled it out of my pocket. I counted it out for him and put it in his hand. He held it.
I love that you can win a slightly heavier left foot.
Uh-huh. Your left foot will now for the rest of your life be exactly 2 atoms heavier than your right foot. You won't notice it, but it will be heavier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
They're pretty great. They're awesome. Okay. Bye, guys. Have a nice
day. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Crystal. Bye.
Thank you. Love you all.
Love you too.
Bye.
Awesome. Thank you so much to those guests for jumping in. But so, guys, what do we want to see from we do this every year, but what do we want to see from the next year? What's something would we hope to see from next year's conference over in Kentucky?
I mean, honestly, we've said this before, but I would like to have more intentional time to get together with people, because that is why I go. So many times I get stuck in the hallway between sessions because you can't walk in a straight line anywhere. As Dave Daxon shared, you constantly are bouncing from group to group, getting your hugs and having these deep, amazing conversations. But the days are so packed with sessions.
Yeah.
It would be nice to just have that be a thing.
Intentional
connection. Okay. Yeah.
We kind of did that with the DEIA group during lunchtime.
Right.
And the also affinity groups. DEIA affinity groups, but it's also difficult because it's also during lunchtime.
Right. Exactly.
But also, I'm glad we went. Really glad I went. I see it.
Yeah.
How about you, Robin?
What if we had something like the DEIA thing, but like as with everyone, but I mean, like, of course there's already that banquet, but
that's true.
So what if like it's a national like chapter share ish kind of thing? Like, but that's big. That's a lot. National, I don't know how.
See, I always thought it'd be fun to do like ORF speed dating.
Kind of like that. That's kind of like what I was thinking.
You sure this last year? Remind me.
Well, just like where you'd be sitting, like one group of people be sitting down at different tables.
Like that.
Well, and then you just go like meet each other and we have some conversation prompts and a bell that dings and 4 minutes to meet this person and go, you know?
Yeah.
As an introvert, depends on the day.
You hate that idea. It's like the moment in church when they're like, now it's time to pass the peace. And like, Jonathan's like,
It's like some music orientation in college again. So,
musical chairs.
Oh my gosh. There musical would be lesson broken chairs. Hips.
I mean, musical like lesson chairs.
Bad.
I feel like that's what the evening sessions are all about.
That's true.
Like, I didn't go this year to any of them, sadly enough. I was past 2 years, I've been exhausted after a day's worth. But, like, you didn't go. Did you go to any of the evening sessions?
No, I did
you
not.
Try
we
next
were
year.
We were both tired.
You were both pooped. Yes.
And I think at one point I was invited to a thing and I said, I'm gonna just sleep during this.
I did less late night hanging out this year than I have in the past.
Yes, it's true.
What would you like to see improve?
For me, I think it's about the opening ceremony. Huge shout out to the opening ceremony.
Yes.
The kids' performance of Redacted.
Yes.
That was amazing.
We unpacked that thoroughly in my little small group earlier.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we did.
I was unfortunately not there. But that was amazing.
It was amazing.
Especially once you... Well, first off, if you weren't there, they took Amanda Gorman's... Well, did you already talk about this? Okay, then I won't go over too many details then. But the thing was, I was really hangry at the point. And so as they were unredacting each line... slowly.
Uh-huh.
I was like, are they going to unredact every line?
Okay, you're like, is every
moment?
Word?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But it was a really beautiful moment of like when everything was stripped away and the final two pieces were showcased. Like, mm-hmm. wow. And you recognize what this poem was all about.
Yeah, those kids got us in the feels.
That was definitely great.
Yeah.
That was mm-hmm. amazing. My thing is, the opening ceremony, I love the kids showcase, but mm-hmm. my two things. Thing one is that I really do feel like this should be live streamed. Mm-hmm. I recognize the necessity of keeping intellectual property of the sessions mm-hmm. kept. I get that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to showcasing the students and mm-hmm. the performance, this is what the world needs to see.
Right.
Like when people think about ORF, I don't know what people think about it anymore.
Yeah.
I know what I thought. I didn't think this. I didn't think a lot of things. But like mm-hmm. I think if people saw this performance of kids performing, they would throw their, you know, their confetti in the air. I don't know. Throw, you know, but like doing this live stream would help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I really am glad they give thanks to all the people they give thanks for. But I think it could be done differently.
Mm-hmm.
They have two big screens. They mm-hmm. could pre-record a lot of the stuff and mm-hmm. showcase what's happening in the classrooms of people they give honors to.
Mm-hmm.
Then have like individual talks, and you could see visually
instead of just verbally thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the stuff when you give honors to people, except for the principals, everyone else, and principal of that school, everyone else has felt like a resume being spoken. And why not have people share stories? Why not showcase the kids doing their art while it's being done? And also, that would give way for people who need to go from point A, walking from their chair mm-hmm. onto the stage. It kills the dead time by showing on the screens while mm-hmm. they walk from point A to point B.
Careful saying this too loud because you're going to get yourself a job.
If you want to, hit me up, Joshua. Patrick, hit me up. So,
They'll be like, great idea, do it.
But honestly,
that's
how this
works. It's a non-profit. Really, that is a great idea. I agree.
Help a ton.
That would help a ton.
It would help with visibility. It would help also with just because everyone loves the content, but I just don't think the presentation is there yet.
Yeah.
But that's what I would love to see for next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would you like to see next time?
We would like to see you. So if you weren't there, get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Shopping time. So yeah.
Do
let us know your thoughts. What did you like about AOSA? Conference 2024, will you be going there next year? Kentucky. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see you. Type in the chat what you want to see, what you liked, all mm-hmm. the good stuff. But until then, we have a break.
I want to take a quick break and thank my husband Brian, who's been working behind the scenes producing these episodes every week on all of the platforms and on time. But you need to know that he is first a financial planner for Mission Trails Financial. Mission Trails Financial is a partner that seeks to guide clients in the journey to financial success. They believe that people need a financial advisor that aims to provide strategies for success. Mission Trails Financial helps people navigate investments, tax planning, and insurance. Imagine working with an advisor who isn't tied to specific brands. Mission Trails Financial has a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interests of their clients by providing independent, objective advice. Their mission is to help clients accomplish their financial goals. As Joe Vitale once said, a goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot. Do yourself a favor and set up a time to chat with Mission Trails Financial. Visit www.missiontrailsfinancial.com or call 619-419-0238 to schedule a call. You'll be glad you did. We believe that leaning on professionals is how we get ahead. Check out the program notes for more information.
Okay. Cool. Welcome back. But before we get to our spiccato, we have our left turn. Thank you, everyone. It has been a wonderful 6 years of us doing this, 102 episodes, 104 episodes, really, when we count the zero and a half episode I stupidly made. But but thank you for being a part of this journey. If you love this, please support things you love monetarily by dropping us a buck. You can send it to us on patreon.com/chclassroom. And there you can find lesson ideas. Mm-hmm. Also, depending on what level you go to, you can get merch as well. You can rock the black Chaotic Harmony shirt and all that jazz.
The tote bag and the cup.
We were thinking about having some merch outside of that. So keep your eyes peeled. But also, God, I love this
problem.
But if you can't support us monetarily, that's okay. But what you can do is you can send us a review. Just like we got a new one.
Yay!
If I could load the properly.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. We've been saying this for a while, and Michelle has stepped up.
She came through.
She came through. Like a boss. She did.
Like a boss.
Michelle mentions, always makes me smile when I see there is a new podcast episode from Chaotic Harmony. It always feels like I am a part of the conversation with them. Just like when you get together with your music teacher people and sit around sharing your joys and struggles. Thank you so much, Michelle. And so, you know what? Spend just 1 minute, leave us a review on either Apple Podcast or click the stars, 5 only on Spotify, or, you know, like and subscribe onto our YouTube channel.
Do it.
But
we appreciate you.
You could do that after we do our spiccato.
Yes.
So our spiccato we have this week is a sleeping bag. Okay. Ooh. I always keep a sleeping bag in my car just because you
just
never know.
Just for naps,
when,
right?
Well, also like when I like to drive, I just sometimes I go somewhere, go to the rest area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what would you do with a sleeping bag in your
besides
music
taking a nap
class?
Under my desk?
I would store this, yes, in the rafters, uh-huh. And I sleep under. No, beyond just sleeping, what would you do with the sleeping bag? Do you want to? This is a big boy. So
it looks like a wearable one.
Is it one of the ones that goes over your head?
No, you pull on. It's a regular sleeping bag. If you want to pull out, sure, yeah.
Okay.
You got to pack back in, though.
Oh, rip. Okay.
What would you do in music classroom with sleeping bag?
With a sleeping bag.
Beyond sleeping.
Sleeping bag.
I think that I might use it as a creativity sparker.
Sparker.
Like, how could you use this to travel across the classroom and put them in groups of three? And that's all they have to do. You have to get from point A to point B using nothing but your bodies and the sleeping bag.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can imagine a few kids getting in and crawling and scooting, and other people might use it as a sled.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All I can think of is kind of just like making a shape out of this sleeping bag.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
Oh, like, oh, yeah.
Movement activity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So partner A makes the shape. Partner B makes the body.
It's a sculpture.
Ooh, there you go. It's a sculpture. Like forts, but like with sleeping bags.
Yes.
What I would do, I'm pulling the spirit of Jesse Rogers into me.
I love it. Channeling
this kid just whamming on it kind of thing, or finding textures to make sound with it.
Uh-huh.
It has a very, we're not going to, just the background noise is, it's not gonna kind of like ones. But you can imagine the sound of my poor imitation. But yeah. But really the correct answer, there's only one correct answer.
Yes.
Is what we mentioned earlier.
Absolutely.
We lock the doors, trump lights, and sleep.
And take a nap. Because I'm tired.
I go nap here.
This is what you do. This was for.
Cool.
What would you do with a sleeping bag? Let us know.
But before that, we got our
round of the week. Round of the week.
Oh, we're going down that time.
Yeah, you know, round mixing it up. Okay, cool. We are doing Viva La Musica because it's become tradition that when we talk about AOSA conference,
I always like recognize, like, there's people in the audience who always say it shouldn't be sung like a dirge, it's so slow, but there's something to be said about being sung slow.
And people say that about the Happy Birthday song too, like
Happy Birthday to you.
Yeah, Trevor Noah talks about how it sounds like a funeral dirge. He's got a whole skit on it, and it is funny. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, right. It can be. So to me, that's an attitude. So you imbue it with whatever meaning you want, man.
Yeah, bro.
And when you're with 1,000 people at AOSA conference singing it in 16-part harmony, it feels really cool.
It is really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. And also there's something to be said about live the music in a sense of like drawn out. It is.
Yes.
It is a less of a cheerful joy, more of a on your knees cry kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, shall we dance?
Viva, viva la musica, viva, viva la musica, viva la musica.
Can we do it line by line just to our new listeners here?
Yep. Listen and repeat. Viva, viva la musica,
viva, viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica.
Viva la musica.
Viva la musica.
Am I too much of an alto today? No, we're good. All right.
You good?
Shall we no, try I'm an alto. It's fine.
We're good. I'm a soprano, but sometimes my voice pitch is lower. Let's try it again all together.
Viva, viva la musica. Viva, viva la musica. Viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica. Viva, viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica.
Viva, viva la musica.
Viva.
That was my attempt. I'm still learning it.
It's all right.
Sound great.
Okay.
Ronald, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
It's nice to have a third chair.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Do you want to shout out where people can reach you?
Yes. Where can people find you on the socials?
Y'all can find me at Porcupines and the Balloons on Instagram. So at Porcupines and the Balloons.
And the Balloons.
Yeah. Cool.
That sounds like lots of popping going
on.
Of,
yeah, a lot. Mm-hmm.
That was a nice pop.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes yeah, I nail it. Or like you can find me at Miss... Oh, sorry. You were done.
No. I was going to be like, I mean, like, I guess you could find me on Facebook, too. Just search up Rodnalyn Sesse.
Wait, Rodnalyn, how do you spell that? Like a...
this was my whole thing at AOSA is telling people it's like a fishing rod. And Na and Lynn.
What is it? Creative. Oh.
I used it less though this year. Like first year, so I was just like, "This is gonna be my thing."
You just lean into it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Go ahead. No, it's all good. You can find me on Instagram, Mrs. Pridmore, and all the socials under my name, Crystal Pridmore. Crystal like the sparkly rock.
Noise. And you can find me at Mr. Seligman, MrSeligman, on all the socials, be it Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm going to add on to that soon enough. Just tack it all on. And then you can find us at CH Classroom on everything. If you want to find us on the YouTube, it's a little weirder, though. It's at CH-Class. Just things were happening, you know. Yeah. And then if you want to email us your thoughts, your questions, your inquiries, email us chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being a part of this. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
The Chaotic Harmony Podcast is a joint project between Crystal Pridmore and Jonathan Seligman. You can find us online at chaoticharmonyclassroom.com. You can email us at chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Give us feedback about what you would like to hear in future episodes. We're on all the socials. Find us on facebook.com/chaoticharmonyclassroom. You can find us on Twitter at chclassroom, Instagram at chaoticharmonyclassroom, and you can even find our episodes on YouTube. Chaotic Harmony is the name of our channel. Special thanks to Brian Pridmore for his help with production and equipment. www.pridmoria.com.
Okay, I have no clue how well balanced we are as far as the Zoom audio. We will find out.
Well, I know that I am unbalanced.
What were the questions?
At the best of times.
What were the questions we asked?